Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing our look through in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. We're going to pick up again here in verse number 5, which says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." We're going to pick up here looking at the issue of the gospel coming in assurance. And, you know, this is such an important issue for individuals to understand that there is a true assurance and a guarantee related to the gospel that's for today. That gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone for salvation, that gospel message contains a guarantee for the individual that once they put their trust in that message, that there's going to be a promise, a guarantee of salvation. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1, where we're going to see that guarantee be recorded for us. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to read here starting in verse 13, we're going to read verse 14 as well, which says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." And we see here in this passage the issue of the fact that a believer, after they have heard the word of truth, in whom after that ye believe. So after they've believed the gospel message which has been given to them, they're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's what's true of every single one of us who have put our trust in the gospel, is that we have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. One part of the Godhead actually functions as the seal which keeps us as a member of the body of Christ until he comes back for the body of Christ at the event that many people refer to as the rapture. We have a guarantee of our salvation. And it's such a glorious thing to really realize the fact that because the Spirit is the seal that's keeping us in the body, there is nothing we could do that would actually take us out of the body of Christ. Because, you know, if there truly was something that could actually take us out of it, we would not only find a way to do it, but it would almost be a guarantee that we would actually do exactly what God didn't want us to do. So he has to actually seal us, keep us in the body of Christ. Now, we see over here, and I want to go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Because we see the Apostle Paul again is going to make a reference here to this assurance that we have related to our salvation. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Now, 2 Timothy is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul writes. So this is the information that completes the Word of God. And as he's writing here to Timothy, he's actually giving the information that Timothy needs to make sure that he's going to stand true, stand fast in what has been given to him. And so here in chapter number 1, we're going to start at verse number 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now here we have this encouragement that is being given to Timothy, and that encouragement really focuses on the fact of the gospel message and the fact that we have that guarantee of that salvation. And because we have that, the reality is we should not be ashamed of anything that's related to the message that's been given to us today. And that's why Paul has to call Timothy to this, encourage him. And as you see, if you read through this epistle, you see how the Apostle Paul brings up how there was a number of individuals who had turned away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. And Paul's encouraging Timothy to make sure that he is continuing to hold true to the gospel message. Now, we also see the Apostle Paul bring up the idea of this guarantee, you know, a couple times in the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 for a moment. We're going to see this guarantee here being mentioned over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we're going to read verse 22, which says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Now, the idea of that be earnest goes back to the idea of that guarantee, the same thing that we had seen over in Ephesians chapter number 1, that there's a guarantee of our salvation that comes about through the Spirit. We can see again Paul make a reference to this idea of the earnest of the Spirit. We turn a couple chapters over here in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter number 5 for a second. Here we're going to see Paul again use this exact same phrase in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5, which says, "But he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." So again, that idea of that we have that guarantee of the Spirit. Because we have that guarantee, that's why you see the things that are said about this message. And that's why you see the things, for example, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we're going to see Paul make a reference to the fact in chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, where it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The gospel message, the salvation that we have today, is the power of God. And it truly demonstrates the fact that it is the power of God, because we have that guarantee of that salvation that's been given to us. And because we have that guarantee, we can see that power being carried out in all of us. That's why we see the things about the forgiveness of sin, that the issue of sin being taken care of. We read that in Colossians chapter number 1. I'll read verse 14, which says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." That forgiveness is already a done deal. It's something that all members of the body of Christ already have the moment they've put their trust in the gospel. That's why Paul can describe us. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Because you see this description that Paul gives about what's true of us here. We're going to pick up in verse 16 now of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, which says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All of these things that the Apostle Paul makes a reference to, that is all a reality of who we are as a result of believing the gospel. We've been made the righteousness of God. We've been identified as being that ambassador for Christ. We've had the message of reconciliation committed unto us, so that way we should be going out and giving this message to others. And that's why Paul, as he's talking about how the gospel came unto this local assembly in Thessalonica, takes it from the gospel coming unto them, and then starts to talk about how they were able to see the pattern that was being given to them of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, when he says, you know what manner of men we are. They knew the exact manner of who the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy actually were. They saw a demonstration of them doing things when they were there. And that's why you can see how Paul describes it, even for us, the members of the body of Christ who are not part of Thessalonica, about how we're supposed to be living things and doing things that we see. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we see where the Apostle Paul's going to start talking about some things about that manner of life here. When he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 1, when he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So as the Apostle Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be following that exact same pattern. Now, we know that Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ through the doctrine that we have given to us, starting in the book of Romans and ending with what's written in the book of Philemon. That's the information that's given to say this is how the Apostle Paul followed Christ. And so that's the information that we should be following as well. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and we're going to see where Paul's going to bring up some information here about this idea of functioning in this manner. When he says here, we're going to read verses 15 and 16 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1, which says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, when we look at this idea of the Apostle Paul being a pattern, the first thing that we have to truly understand with it is that the Apostle Paul is not a pattern of salvation. And we do not have to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to us in the air, speaking to us when he's in heaven's glory to give us our salvation. We have the Word of God given to us that tells us exactly how we're going to receive that salvation. So Paul's pattern is not salvation. What Paul's pattern is that manner of how to live that life. That goes back to the passage we just read before, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, about be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That if we're doing that, we're going to be following the pattern that's laid out by the Apostle Paul. We get the instructions on how to actually follow that pattern when we look at a passage, for example. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2. And we'll see in Titus chapter number 2 some information on how it is that we are supposed to live according to the doctrine that's been given to us here. We're going to pick up in verse 11 of Titus 2, which says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, when we look at that passage, we see how the grace of God that brings salvation is appeared to all men. So all of mankind actually has access to receiving salvation. But it's also the grace of God which is going to teach us, which it says in verse 12, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So it teaches us what not to do. So there's a bunch of things that we shouldn't do as a result of the doctrine that's laid out by the Apostle Paul. But it also gives us the information that we see when it says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God is actually giving us that information to say, okay, here's some things you're not supposed to do, but here's some things you're also supposed to do in order to live the life that God intends. Now, I've used that word should a lot of times in that description because all of those things are an idea of this is how God intends for us to live. But the end result of it is that even if we never do any of those things, so even if after our salvation we decide to just live any old type of way, we still have that guarantee of our salvation. We still have the thing of where we will be living with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places for all eternity. Now, what the Apostle Paul does in his epistles is he gives all of that information and always talks about how there's some things that are given to us for patterns so that way we have an understanding of what it is that we're supposed to be doing in our lives. And he holds it up, to us several times. I want to go over to the book of Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 3. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul make a reference here to this idea. In Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to read here verse number 17, which says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Now, he uses that word ensample here, and many times people just try to turn it as example and think that it's not, that's just some sort of old English spelling of the word. It's not a big deal to make that change. But it really is a big deal to change that word because changing that word actually changes the meaning and the idea of what the Apostle Paul is trying to express. Because the idea of being an example with an X is the idea that a person is being that pattern for those who are outside of the group. So the unsaved would be able to look at us and be able to say that there's something different about us. There's something, that they want to have and that it would lead them to a salvation based on them looking at us. And that's where you get more into that idea of where he starts talking about in Philippians chapter number 2 about how the individuals who are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, that would be an example, because the believers are functioning as a light unto that crooked and perverse nation, unto the unsaved. The idea of being an ensample is that the individual is a pattern to those who are part of the group. So this is the Apostle Paul saying that the brethren should be looking at those who are actually part of the body of Christ, seeing those who are doing the right thing, mark them so that way they could see that pattern and have something that they would be saying, this is how I should be living my life, and this is where I want to kind of direct my life to be. You see the Apostle Paul talk about this. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in a couple weeks when we get to this verse. But I want to actually read this one now, because you see again where he uses this word ensample here. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 verse 7, when it says, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So he's holding up the local assembly in Thessalonica and saying, ye were ensamples to all of these other believers, that they could look at these individuals and be able to say, okay, this is exactly how I'm supposed to be living my life. And because I see that that's how I'm supposed to be living my life, I have a pattern that I can follow, and I know what it is that I should be doing. Now, we see him also make, you know, this, use this exact same word. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians now, where we'll see the Apostle Paul talk about this. We'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, and we'll read here verse number 9, which is, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Now, when you look at the idea of what he's looking at, he's giving them in this passage some practical information about how they're supposed to be living their life. And that's something you see the Apostle Paul do in a lot of his epistles, where he lays out at the very beginning of it, he gives some doctrinal information, some things that, you know, these are some truths you have to understand. You have to apply these things to your life. And then after he lays those things out, what he does is shifts from laying out that type of information to, okay, now that you understand those things, here's the practical outworking of it. Here's how it should be demonstrated in your life. And when you're doing that, you're going to be functioning in this manner of where the Apostle Paul can hold them up and say, they're an ensample, they're that pattern of what it is that should be done. And that's how he sees this local assembly in Thessalonica, and that's really how each and every single one of us should be living in that same manner, so that way when, for example, we all get together and we meet together, we can have that ability to edify and exhort each other, because we can see the thing of, okay, this is how somebody is able to live the grace doctrine out in their life. And as a result of that, then they say, okay, I want to be able to do that exact same thing as well. But all of those things can only occur as I'm taking the doctrine in and applying it to my life. Now, what we're going to do next time is we're actually start looking at the issue of exactly how the Apostle Paul actually teaches the person to function as that pattern for other individuals. And he lays out some, you know, a lot of verses that are going to actually say this is what all the members of the body of Christ should be doing. So that'll be next time. And as we close here, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to some audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how you can actually watch our Sunday messages live on Facebook. We have information on how you can join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. You know, we would love to have you do that and, you know, just be, you know, have that opportunity to be, you know, edified and exhorted through the study of God's Word together. And always remember, if you have any questions or comments about, you know, anything in any of these episodes or anything you read on our website, feel free to contact us and we'll be more than happy to answer any of those questions that you have. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.